allowed me to have the desires of my heart. Amen? God's not a hard God to get along with. Amen? Come on. He's not a hard God. He doesn't just eke out the minimum. He isn't just tight-fisted. And that don't mean he's a God that just gives us everything and never no problems, never no difficulties. But I tell you, God is good. In everything, all the time, in every situation. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Thankful for each one of you. You want to go to John the 12th chapter this morning? John the 12th chapter. While you're turning, I'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege to be in your house. Thank you once again for the privilege you've afforded us to come together, to look into your word, to be encouraged by your spirit, to be encouraged by testimony and by song, that we might have opportunity to express your greatness, to have opportunity to express our love for you in return for your love to us. Now help us as we look into your word. We need your help this morning that we might rightly divide the word, might rightly portray the truth of your word. Help us by the help of your Holy Spirit that we'd say those things we ought. And then help the hearers by the help of your spirit to receive the message that is in your word, not just my words, but in your word, that they might be strengthened thereby. Help us bless this day together. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. My mind is full. Last few weeks and few days, talked to different ones, different meetings, different places, different things that's went on. And to a large extent, I get distressed sometimes by what passes for Christianity, what passes for religion. You know, there's a lot of religion, but not near as much knowing God as Rodney. Now, I'm not trying to unchristianize anyone. I'm not trying to pass judgment on anybody's experience. But I tell you what I see, there's a whole lot more promised in God's word for us in a relationship with Christ than oftentimes I see demonstrated. I thought also there's a lot of church growth strategies written about and spoken about. I was talking to someone I know well, had moved up to a large church, and the whole conversation was I never heard God mentioned. It was always about the facility, about the programs, about everything else. And there's lots of books written, how to market, you know, how to get out there and market the church, and how to win people, and how to grow. And all those in their place are necessary things in life. In and of themselves, they're not wrong things. And there's lots of advice available. Some of them have proven results. I mean, you can see you do X, Y, Z, it does this. But it calls my mind to think, how are we to build God's church? What's to be the attraction of God's church? What's our drawing card? What should be what we're for? You know, if you're in business, you got to boil it down and say, you know, what are we offering? What are we really selling? You know, and let's emphasize this and show. What should be the drawing card as God's church? Well, let's look with that in mind. Let's look at John 12 chapter. John 12, 27. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name. And then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Another said an angel spoke to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of the world. Now is the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Verse 32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Jesus was facing the cross. This was his hour was imminent. He was facing the cross. He knew it, and he was troubled. And where I broke into this passage is Jesus said, he said, what shall I say? He said, shall I ask not to go through with it? We said, well, but this is the real reason I came. You know, he didn't want to go face the cross. Jesus, in his humanity, did not want to face death any more than you and I would. He didn't want to face the suffering, right? I mean, he prayed earnestly in the Garden of Gethsemane. And here he said, my soul's troubled. What he's saying? He's saying, like you and I, when we're facing something we don't want to face, he was tore up about it. But he said, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Should I ask that I not go through with it? And he said, because this is the reason I came. That was his very purpose in coming. And then he goes on and asks God to glorify his name. And God, in an audible voice from heaven, says that he both had glorified his name and would glorify his name. And then Jesus proclaimed that if he be lifted up, he would draw all men unto him. Now, he proclaimed that if he be lifted up, signifying the death on the cross. That's what it was in reference to. Well, let's look at this just a little bit this morning. I'm going to start by saying God desires to be glorified. God desires his glory. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean God got some ego problem that he wants everybody to look at him and tell him he's great? Is that what that means? I mean, some people, I think, kind of refer to it that way or kind of think of it that way. When it says God desires his glory, what he really means is God desires to have on display who he is, what he is, that is praiseworthy. Those things about God, which is everything about God's praiseworthy, but those things about him, his glory is those things that are praiseworthy. It's his love. It is his power. It is his awesomeness. I mean, it is his wisdom. It is his knowledge, his mercy. Everything that is about his character is what is praiseworthy, what that is his glory. God desires to be seen for what he really is. When it says God desires his glory, what it means is God desires people to see him for what he really is. Amen? That the honor and glory do him be seen. Well, why does he want that? Because it's a drawing power. When you see God as he really is, he's desirable. Everything about him is good. It has a natural drawing power. We're drawn to his love, his mercy, his goodness, his justice, his fairness, his wisdom, his power, right? I mean, there's a drawing to that. That's why God wants glorified. Because God wants people to see him as he is. Amen? God was glorified and is glorified in Jesus. John 12:28 says, Father, glorify thy name. There came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. God was glorified in the life and in the death of Jesus Christ. Amen? God received glory in both the life and death of Jesus Christ. Jesus was God in human flesh. He was every bit of human as much as you and I are, and by the way, still is every bit as much a human as you and I are. He didn't just abandon his body and go back. He is in his resurrected body throughout all eternity. Amen. He is a human throughout all eternity, but yet he's also God. God was glorified by Jesus. Jesus gave a full and accurate portrayal of what and who God really is and what he's really like. What you see in Jesus Christ is exactly what God is because he is God. Amen? What you see in his attitudes, what you see in his teachings, what everything you see about Jesus Christ is an exact portrayal of who God is. Amen? God's love, his mercy, his holiness, his power, his wisdom are all shown in Jesus' life. That was the glory God was receiving in Jesus Christ's life. His obedience and his faithfulness brought glory to God. And in his death, he brought great glory to God. He showed God's love in a way, in a vivid way, that there could be no greater way. And that he was willing to lay down his life. Lay down his glory in one sense. Become subject to the wickedness around him. Hang on the cruel cross in forgiveness of you and I's sins. He showed God's mercy on the cross, but he also showed God's wisdom and God's justice. Amen? God didn't just overlook sin. God dealt with sin by paying the price of sin. Amen? God was glorified in Jesus Christ. That's what it means when he said Jesus had glorified God and God was glorified in Christ. That's what it means. It showed who God really was. The admirable traits of God were on display in Jesus Christ's life. He brought glory to God. In a similar way, God's further glorified in the work of Jesus Christ in the life of believers. John 17, 9 says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but I pray for them that thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. In much the same way, our life of obedience and the imitation of Christ in our attitudes and our actions brings a glory to Jesus and to God. Amen? Because it reflects their life. Jesus' life is reflected through us. Amen? As we live out God's commandments, as we live the way God commanded us, as we live the way Jesus showed the example to live, we glorify God and glorify Jesus Christ. Amen? We show His love. We show His power. We show His mercy. We show His holiness. Jesus is glorified in us, and God's glorified in Jesus. Amen? God had said He'd be glorified in Jesus, and He'd be further glorified in Jesus. Amen? As I said before, it's the glory of God that attracts people to Him. It is seeing God as He really is that has a drawing power to Him. Amen? Magnifying Him, praising Him, glorifying Him, all has the effect of showing who God really is. And the appeal of who He really is in His attributes. Jesus ultimately glorified God in His death on the cross. It showed God's love and mercy in the greatest way possible. It showed God's mercy to us as sinners, undeserving. Yet He was willing to come and die for us. It also justified God in that He didn't just overlook sin. God remained a holy and just God in that the price of sin had to be paid. Amen? God is fair. He's just. He's holy. Yet He's also love and merciful and kind and compassionate. And Jesus Christ's death on the cross showed all that attributes of God. And showed His wisdom. Amen? It's this glory in the sacrificial death of Christ, the sacrificial love of Jesus that draws people yet today. He says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Church, this is our drawing card. This is our marketing plan, if you will. Amen? It is Jesus Christ lifted up. That ought to be central to everything we are and everything we do, is that God get the glory, that God be shown as who He is, and the central part of salvation is Jesus' death and resurrection. Amen? His love, His power over death, His mercy for us, His justice, His goodness, all that. That's what ought to be our drawing power. Amen? The lifting up of Jesus Christ. It's a lifting up of Jesus. It's the power of His love that was shown on His death on the cruel cross that draws people and changes people. Amen? It ain't just about sitting people in the pews. It's about people really knowing God for themselves. That's the mission of the church. Amen? That people would come to know Jesus Christ for themselves in a personal way. Not that they just conform them lives. Not just that they do this and don't do that. Not just that they show up and are religious. Amen? But that they have a real relationship with Jesus Christ that changes their life from the inside out. Amen? Other methods may fill buildings, but only the lifting up of Jesus Christ can change lives. Amen? We need to take care that we not veil the glory of Christ. And start picking and choosing what we think looks good and don't look good. God, in His wisdom has revealed Himself to us. And as we understand it, that's what is to be on display, both in our songs, our testimonies, our preaching, and in our lives. That's what's to be on display, is the full salvation of Jesus Christ. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. It's the gospel of Christ, the death of Jesus on the cross for our sins, that brings salvation. This is where the power is found for a changed life. Amen? In real trust and faith in the death of Jesus Christ. It's what forms the bond of commitment and the bond of love. There's all kinds of ways that how you lock people in once they come. How you get them committed. I tell you what. I don't need people committed to me or this place. We need people committed to Jesus Christ. Because if they're committed to Jesus Christ, if they're committed to God, God will help them know where to be and how to be. Amen? It's a real power of salvation. It's the lifting up of Jesus Christ in this relationship that fills that empty void that's within. People crave something because they're created of God in His image, and they have a desire to know God and have a relationship with Him. There's a void that is constantly within people without this. And people strive, that's a restlessness people feel that they try and fill with everything else. And just filling it with church doesn't bring a satisfaction. Amen? It takes the power of Jesus Christ. It's this salvation that brings contentment and satisfaction. Just being religious and doing this and doing that is not going to bring satisfaction and contentment. Now, don't get me wrong. There is a doing this and a doing that that follows real salvation. But it follows it. It's not the heart of it. Amen? The heart of it is knowing Jesus Christ. Jesus, in one sense, was lifted up once and for all in the Christ. There was on the cross. There was one salvation. There was one death. One price paid for sin. But in another sense, we continue to lift up Jesus. Or maybe a better way to say it is, we continue to glorify Jesus Christ. The glory that He showed on the cross, we continue to reflect that glory. We lift Him up so the world can see this great salvation, right? We exalt Him, we praise Him, we glorify Him, we show this salvation to those around us. And in that way, lift up Jesus Christ so that He can draw others to Him. This ought to be central in our worship services. Amen? That's why I have a hard time sometimes going some places, because I get distracted with things that are going on that shouldn't be going on. It's not about you and me. It's not about how talented we are or how clever we are. It's not about how we can put things together or what kind of show we can put on. It ought to be about knowing God and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our praise for Him ought to be, as was this morning, a lifting up of God, glorifying, showing His goodness, showing His love from experiences in our lives. Amen? We ought to testify of God's goodness to us personally, so that people can see the goodness of God, the love of God, the mercy of God in real life, in your and I's lives. We ought to acknowledge Him as the source of all life, of all things, that there is no good thing any of us have except for God. We ought to seek His presence in our midst as our source of satisfaction. Not how well we performed, not how impressed somebody was, but did we feel the presence of God in our midst? Did it bring a satisfaction into our heart of being in the presence of God? Amen. All we do, that ought to be the filter through which everything we do in our worship services ought to be, that Jesus Christ, that God be accurately portrayed, that He be exalted, and that people be steered into knowing Him as He is. Amen? We lift Him up also by our obedience to Him. You know why? We show God's wisdom and God's love by trusting Him enough to obey Him, that what He commanded us to do is the right and good thing to do, right for us. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. We imitate his life in our life. Walk as he walked. That means live as he lived. We're Christians. We're to be Christ-like. Amen? 1 John 2:4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth's not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. By living as Jesus lived, by walking as he walked, we bring glory to God. We lift him up. We put on display, hey, here is the life of Christ. See it on display. It is Jesus. It's not us. This is Jesus Christ. Amen? Matthew 5:14, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We ought to live in such a way, not just that people say, man, he's pretty special. We ought to live in such a way that they say, wow, you can see God lived out in his life. Amen? We also lift Jesus up by our love toward one another and our harmony and unity with one another. In that, we show the effects of his teachings on our life. John 13:31 says, therefore, when he has gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Our love for one another is one of our greatest witnesses to the world. It's one of the greatest ways we can bring glory to God. It's to be the distinguishing mark of Jesus Christ followers, that their life has been changed from self-love, self-interest, to a love for God and a love to others. That love is a visible change. And if we truly do love God and love others, rather than ourselves still being supreme, there ought to be a harmony and a love evident among people who've had that change of heart. That's not asking too much, is it? Well, I tell you what, it seems to be today asking a bit much. But the truth is, it's one of our greatest witnesses to those around us that God's love can change us to where the love we proclaim is indeed a reality in our life and the way we live. It's one of the ways we lift up Jesus, one of the ways we show his power by showing his effect among us. Amen? It shows this power of his salvation can change. It shows the reality of his salvation. This love and unity is always under attack from Satan. I mean, he works dozens of different ways to undermine it and disrupt it in God's people. But I often wonder sometimes if maybe the lack of it is one of the reasons people aren't drawn in the way they ought to be drawn. Amen. We also lift up Jesus by showing our dependence on him. We lift him up by our trusting prayers. We bring glory to God. When we truly depend on God, seek him earnestly in prayer for what we need, we show those around us that God is worthy of trust. He is faithful. He is trustworthy. He is good. He can be depended on, right? And in that way, we exalt Jesus Christ. John 14:13, whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. What's the reason given here? Ask anything in my name, and I'll do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, to show that Jesus Christ is faithful. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask what you will be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. The connection here between God's glory and asking what we will, again, goes back to magnifying the faithfulness of God. If I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Just want to remind us this morning, let's keep our focus. Amen? Let's keep our focus. Let's keep Jesus Christ central. Now, I know that includes all the other truths that the Bible contains. And I know it includes all the other theology that the Bible contains. But in all of it, let's not lose our perspective. And that is that it all goes back to showing God as He is, so that we might know Him, so that we might experience His salvation, so that we might experience the change that salvation brings, to be a light to the world around us. Amen. Let's take care that we lift Him up in our services. I believe we do, but I don't think it hurts to be reminded. This ought to be central to everything. Whatever we do, because there is such a tendency for self to creep back in. I'll tell you this from experience as a preacher. There's a tendency to want to feel like you did a good job, not necessarily for the right reason. Amen? There's a tendency to allow our performance to take on an importance that it has no right to take on. And that's whether we pray, whether we testify, whether we sing, or whether we preach. Amen? We need reminded that everything we do ought to be not for our glory, but for the glory of God. Amen. Let's lift Him up in our unity and love for one another. This takes constant attention. People are irritating. That's a natural attribute, I think, of most human beings. If you're around them long enough, you'll find out most people are irritating in one way or another. And it takes effort, diligent effort, to maintain love and unity among the children of God. Amen? In our natural families, people can be irritating. And it takes effort to maintain unity, peace, and love. Amen? And in the family of God, let's remember it's not about us. It's not about me getting my way or you getting your way. It's about God being glorified. Amen? Let's lift Him up in our lives. That ought to be one of our goals as we go through life, is that people can look on us and not say, well, he's a good guy, that's a good person, but rather look on us and say, that salvation really is real. It changed that person. You know, it's had an effect in that person. You can see the effect in that person's life. Amen? Let's allow people to see the goodness of God in our faith and our trust and our prayers, that we depend on God so that He has opportunity to show His goodness and His faithfulness in answer to prayer. Let's lift Him up. Amen? That's to be our drawing card. That's to be what we're all about. Amen? That's the attraction that ought to be foremost in our mind as we come in. I know, and I do, I want people when they come in to want to come back. I want them to enjoy the service, to say this is a good place to be. But I want it to be for the reason that the presence of God is here, that Jesus Christ and His salvation is rightly portrayed, and that everything that's said and done leads back to bringing glory to God. Amen? Amen. May God help you. May God help me to endeavor to be what God have us to be. As you stand, as we close in a verse of song.